जामुना तीरावन चारी जामुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपे जन बाला गिरिवर धारी जय गोपे जन बाला गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जामुना तेरावन चारी जामुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद
श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम is the pastimes of Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni. And this text is number 69 and the fourth chapter. So we read the Sanskrit. Upayam katayasyami tava vipra srinushnavatat Ayamyatma vicharuste Yatastam yahimam chiram Sadusu praitam teja Prahartu karuta shivam upayam kadayasyami tava vipra shrinusvata ayamyatma vicharaste yatastam yatimanchiram sadhu supraitam teja prahartu karuteya shivam upayam katayasyami tava vipra shrinusvata ayam yatma vicharaste yatastan yatimachiram sadhu suprahitam teja prahartu karute shivam upayam kadayasyami Upayam. The means of protection in this dangerous position. Katayashami. I shall speak to you. Tava. Of your deliverance from this danger. Vipra. O Brahmana. Shrisna Sva. Just hear from me. That. What I say. I am. This action taken by you. He. Indeed. Atma Abhichara. Self-envy or envious of yourself. Your mind has become your enemy. Te. For you. Yataha. Because of whom. Tam. To him. Maharaj Ambarisha. Yahi. Immediately go. Machiram. Do not wait even a moment. Sadhusu. Unto devotees. Prahitam. Applied. Tejaha. Power. Praratu. Of the executor. Kurute. Das. Ashivam. Inauspiciousness. Translation by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarisha, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately, without a moment delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotees, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. Please repeat after me. O Brahmana! Let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately, without a moment delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A Vaishnava is always an object of envy for non-devotees. Even when the non-devotees happen to be his father. To give a practical example, Hiranyakashipu was envious of Prahlad Maharaj, but this envy of the devotee was harmful to Hiranyakashipu, not to Prahlad. Every action taken by Hiranyakashipu against his son, Prahlad Maharaj, was taken very seriously by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, when Hiranyakashipu was on the verge of killing Prahlad, the Lord personally appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu. Service to the Vaishnavas gradually accumulate and become an asset for the devotee. Similarly, harmful activities directed against the devotee gradually become the ultimate cause of the performer's fall down. Even such a great Brahmana and a mystic yogi as Durvasa was in the most dangerous situation because of his offense at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish, a pure devotee. Om Jnana Dimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mitran Medatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasatade Satarine Vancha Kalpakarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So before starting on this wonderful verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I request all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavi to bless me. I was wondering, I don't know why they asked me to give class when there are such exalted personality here in this audience. And this morning I saw Devamrita Swami, he was in the temple, and I thought, let me catch him and ask him if you like to give class, because certainly he's more qualified than me. But then he disappeared, I didn't see him anymore. I think he went one round, and maybe he came last night, he was tired, I don't know what's the situation, but anyway, please bless me that I may speak some words which appeal to your heart and inspire your devotion. Hare Krishna. So this is a very nice, first of all I want to ask you, who is speaking this verse? Because you have been following this. Who is speaking this? Who? Mahavishnu, yes, Vishnu. Vishnu is speaking. So it's a beautiful story of Durvasa Muni, which we had to learn so much from these past times, because like Maharaj was telling yesterday in the class, you know, in dealing with devotee, you know, we are always making this possibility that we make an offense, because the devotees are all very dear to the Lord. It doesn't matter what level they are. They may be Kanista Dikari, Madhyama Uttama. They may be that new bhakta who just joined yesterday. They may be your son who just appeared to be in your family, or the small Gurukul boys or girls. We don't know where they come from. We don't know how much advancement they have made in their previous life. So it's very important that we remember these pastimes all the time. And sometimes the Lord will put us also in a position where we will be tested. Huh? Sometimes the Lord put us in position of power or management or exalted position. Even we see the demigods, such as Brahma and Indra, sometimes they also have disagreement with the Lord, they fight with the Lord, they complain to the Lord. So we must always, at any time, remain humble. Now, of course, it's very easy to say, but Srila Prabhupada said we should wear this mantra printed on our chest. I see so many friends are making tattoos everywhere. But maybe we should print this tattoo in our chest. Trinada Pisa Nishana Tarora Pisa Ishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Saha Hari. So this mantra is the conclusion of all the behavior of the Vaishnavas, because in dealing with Vaishnavas, you know, there will be always friction, sometimes competition, disagreement, different view, different way. But the ultimate goal of the devotee is always to please Krishna. Whatever, even in the spiritual world, Srila Prabhupada said that there is sometimes disagreement amongst the gopi, different camps, different way to serve the Lord. And they even fight sometimes. But that is only, the motivation is to please Krishna. Because if we are not able to please Krishna by our activity, then we are just externally dressed like a Vaishnavas, with a big tilak, with a big neck beads, with a nice dhoti. We have resemblance of the Vaishnava. Prabhupada said, what is the best quality, the first quality of the Vaishnava is a gentleman. Gentleman means, you know, it's a person who wants to help everybody. When he sees something, he wants to correct it. He prays for everybody. He prays for the devotees. He prays for his family member. He wants to see that everybody gets uplifted to the Krishna consciousness platform, because he understands that is a solution to all problems. I just came back from a tour of 3 months with His Holiness Bhanuswami. We were traveling all over the world. We went to Thailand, Malaysia, Japan, Russia, and Croatia. We went so many places. And we met so many wonderful devotees, dedicated their life in serving the Vaishnava, in serving Krishna. This was very inspiring to see the devotee organizing big festival in the middle of nowhere, you know, in Russia, in some forgotten place. I don't know if you've been in Siberia. In Siberia there's nothing for thousands of kilometers. It's all tree and they grow some grains. But the devotees, they're able to come all together, 5,000, 8,000 devotees, and perform such a wonderful association for all the devotees who come with the children, the family. And you meet some very astounding devotees. I met one devotee who was very wealthy, and he was driving a very nice car, you know, latest model, you know, which has runs with battery, electric motor, and everything. So I told him, "Oh, you are taking us." And then we went in the same plane. And he said, I just changed your ticket." I said, "What do you mean you changed your ticket?" He said, "Yes, I put you in the first class." I said, "What? You put me and Bhanu Maharaj in the first? What about you?" No, I fly all the time. It's okay, no problem. So he put us in the first class seat, you know, that was his desire. Then I told him, "What service are you doing?" "Oh, I come every year, I do this service, you know, in this yatra, you know." I said, "What service you do?" He said, "I wash the pot." You know, I said, "What? You washing the pot?" He said, "Yeah. When I wash the pot, I scrub my heart and I become purified by serving the devotees." And this was a very rich person, you know. And I said, "What? They don't have any other service?" No, "I like the service. I come purposely every year just to wash the pot." And I said, "Whoa." And there was an army of devotees cutting vegetables, you know. And I went to the manager. I told him, "Hey, can you buy the machine for cutting vegetables? We have in Mayapur, you know, this machine. You put the carrot inside, go trrr, 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 and all the vegetable is cut, you know." He said, "We don't need that." I said, "What do you mean we don't need? You know, we have 100 devotees cutting vegetables there, you know, all." He said, No, they like to do service for the devotees, you know. And next to this devotee cutting vegetable, there was a Sankirtan party chanting the Maha Mantra, you know, accompany them. And they were all in bliss, you know, cutting the vegetable. I said, "What? What is this?" So some far out experience, you know, amazing. The service, the mood of the devotees, the mentality of the devotees. Sometimes the devotee will move out of their house and give us the whole house for Maharaj and say, "Well, Mataji, where are you going to stay, you know? It's freezing cold." He said, no problem. I have a room in the temple. I go there. I stay there." It's okay, you know. I mean, amazing, you know. And the devotees, they're always eager to serve the Vaishnavas. That's such a wonderful quality, you know, that the devotee manifests. And we have so many wonderful devotees around the world. Sometimes we forget. We stay in Mayapur for a long time and we don't travel. We think, "Oh, what am I doing with my little service, you know, for Krishna?" But no, we are part of the greatest family of the Vaishnavas all over the world who are serving the Lord. So the Lord is very pleased when we please the Vaishnavas. So we must always be very, very careful in serving those Vaishnavas who are very exalted, because Krishna is in the heart. And in the heart of Krishna, there are all the devotees. If somebody offends Krishna, Krishna doesn't care. No problem. He's beyond. Like yesterday, Maharaj was telling, you know, you offend Krishna, hey, Krishna has been tolerating you for many millions of lifetimes. It's not a big deal. But if you offend the devotee, then Krishna becomes very serious. He takes notice. "Oh, you're offending my devotees. He's very dear to me. Don't do that." So in this connection, I would like to narrate a short pastimes which happened in Guruvayur, which is in South India. It's a beautiful temple. How many of you have been in Guruvayur temple? Yes, many of you. So beautiful temple, and there is beautiful Krishna who has a churning rod. You know, and it's very nice. Every day they do this festival, the elephant, just like we do it on Saturday, on Sunday, we do the elephant procession here. There they do every day with five elephants. So it's very beautiful, and outside of the temple you can light the lamp. There are so many oil lamps. So somebody will give you a stick with a little fire. You can light the lamp all outside, around, surrounding the temple. It's a small temple, but very beautiful temple. And so there was this devotee, about in the 1500. It was, I think, the same time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were two great devotees. One, his name was Puntanam. And the other one was Narayan Bhattatari. They're both great devotees. And this Narayan Bhattatari is a great scholar, very close to the Lord. He goes there in prayer for the Lord in Sanskrit. He's the one who wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam in the local language, in Malayali, which is called Narayaniyam. So those people, those Mataji from South India, they know. This is a very famous book. It's equal to the Srimad Bhagavatam, but written in Malayali language, which is very beautiful, very poetic. So he was such a great devotee, and he's always there in the entrance of the temple. He's a pandit. He sits there. He assists the devotee. So one day, this Puntanam is coming. They're both coming from this Nambudri family. Nambudri caste, we can say. Of course, let me tell you a little bit about the Nambudri. These are Brahmana created by Parashuram when he threw this axe. He created Kerala in south. And Parashuram had so many Brahmanas under him. And these Brahmanas sometimes they ran away because he was very strict. So he caught hold of all the Brahmana, and instead of the Sika in the back here, he made the Sika in the side here. Just imagine. So that he can recognize them and catch them. Hey, you run away, rascal. Come here and serve the Lord. So, you know, these are the Nambudris. And so this Puntanam was a very simple devotee, but very sincere, very humble. So one time he came, he wrote a beautiful poetry. You know, it's called Gyana. What is it called? Gyana? Gyanapanam. So he came, but he didn't write it in Sanskrit. He wrote it in Malayali language. So he bought and said, oh, I must show this work to this great devotee. Only if you recognize, then I can read it to the Lord. And these are all the pastime of Krishna in Vrindavan, but in Malayali language. So when he went there, he said, oh, my great Bhattatari, you are the great Sanskrit scholar. Please read this. So when he gave it to him, he looked at it. He closed it. He said, this is not Sanskrit. I don't even consider looking at it. And then this devotee was feeling very bad in his heart. He said, oh my God, I'm such a stupid. I don't know Sanskrit. I cannot glorify the Lord. So he was crying. He went away. So after a few days, this Narayan Bhattatari get some problem. He couldn't pay obeisance anymore. He got arthritis in his leg. No, he couldn't pay obeisance. He couldn't sit anymore. He was feeling pain. Then the Lord came in his dream. I told him, see, who you think you are? Such a great scholar? You know Sanskrit? You know that the devotion of this devotee, Puntanam, is very, very dear to me. So if you want to get rid of this problem you have in your body, please go immediately and pay obeisance to him and read what he wrote, because what he wrote is for my glorification. He woke up and said, wow, what a dream. So he went and found him. He lives 100 kilometers far away from the temple. And at that time there was no bus or car or motorcycle, there was only bullock carts. So he walked all the way there. He went to his house. And he asked him, please, I'm such an offender to you. Please, forgive me. He touched his feet and said, please give me the book. He said, no, I don't want to give you. It's not written in Sanskrit, he said. No, it doesn't matter. Give it to me. I'll read it. So then he was cured of that disease. There are many pastimes like that. Another time, Pundana was singing in front of the Lord. And by mistake, because he doesn't know Sanskrit, he misspelled the words. He said, Amara Prabhu. No, Mara Prabhu means the immortal Lord. And this Narayan Bhattatari say, give him a help. I say, what are you saying? Instead of telling, my Lord who is eternal, you're telling Mara Prabhu is a tree. In Sanskrit, Mara means tree. And then immediately he saw one big gigantic tree came out in the garden. Boo! And the voice came from the tree and say, oh, you think you're a great scholar, I'm not in the tree? And he was scared, like, whoa. So he was very careful, he's dealing with this. But these are all different pastimes, which, to elucidate that we should never minimize the position of the devotee, we should never offend the devotee, because this can destroy our bhakti. It doesn't matter what the devotee say, it doesn't matter what the devotee do, it doesn't matter what sometimes the people look stupid, okay, whatever it is. But we have to understand Krishna is in the heart, and Krishna can correct them in no time. So we just have to tolerate sometime. We have to tolerate each other, because we have idiosyncrasies, means we have something which is stupid, which is we don't know that we are making, that maybe upset other people because of our conditioning, because of our upgrading, because of where we come from. But the devotee's desire is always to please Krishna. This is the most important things in devotional service. So how can we love Krishna if we don't love the devotees? Like somebody went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we love your movement, but this devotee, I cannot deal with them. It's just too much. They're harassing me all the time, they're doing this against me, they send me this, they do that. Prabhupada said, if you love me, then you love also the devotees. We just have to tolerate each other. We have to take a little light. We have to take seriously the process of bhakti, of devotional service. And what to speak of offending the body? Even if we offend other living entities, Krishna becomes upset. We think we walk outside here on the road and we are devotees, and all these rickshawwalas are just stupid, dumb, pulling the rickshaw all day. Or the guy who's selling the fruits and vegetables is a stupid guy. Just because I made some more money than him, I'm smarter than him? No. All these devotees, they're all great devotees that took birth here in Mayapur. They are Dhamvasis. And this is their last birth. Because they came here because of some either mistake or material desire. And they came and took birth here. And they are doing whatever they're supposed to do. And many times you can talk to them, if you speak Bengali, they're very nice people, they're very sweet people. And you talk to them, you can talk to them about Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They know the pastimes, the lilas, they know many things. So, we have to respect all living entities. Unfortunately, when we walk in the street, we are committing many sinful activities also, because we may be unknowingly stepping on the ants or some bugs or some germs which we cannot see. But if we chant Hare Krishna, of course the Lord will take care of that. But as much as possible, we don't want to create any problem to any living entities. What to speak of the devotees. So these pastimes are there for us to understand that we should never offend the devotee. Another point which another acharya makes is that this Sudarshan Chakra, now first of all, when the demon was created by Durvasa, Ambarish Maharaj stood there without moving, without fearing also. If he was us, this demon would come out. I think I would run away as fast as I can, scared of being killed by the demon, right? But he stood there and he said, okay, whatever has to happen will happen. And then what happened? The Sudarshan Chakra came, boom, he killed the demon, made it into powder. And then at that point, the Acharya said, the Sudarshan Chakra could have killed also Durvasa, but it did not. Because Durvasa also is a Brahmana, and the Brahmana are the mouth of the Lord. So he's also dear to the Lord. He's also devotee. He's a great Rishi. He has mystic power. But the Lord wanted to correct him. Therefore, the Sudarshan Chakra was always close to him. Wherever he goes, the Sudarshan Chakra will be close enough for him to feel the heat in his back. He didn't went and burn him. He could have. But the Lord wanted to teach him a lesson. So the Sudarshan Chakra refrained from killing him. And he went all over the universe, as we know these past times. And in the end, the Lord said, look, I cannot do anything. I cannot stop the Sudarshan Chakra. He's an independent personality. He's been employed to protect my devotees. If you want to, you can go there and pay obeisance to the devotee you offended. The Sudarshan Chakra will become cool like the rays of the moon. So, and that's what he did. So he wanted to teach him that it doesn't matter how powerful we are, how great position we have, how mystical power we have, we should never, never, ever offend the devotees. This is very detrimental. All the Acharya says that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained how this Bhaktilata Beach, which is growing, 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 can be completely destroyed by offenses against the devotee. You know what happened? If we make offenses to the devotee, we lose the taste for chanting, we do lose the taste for associating with the devotee, we lose the taste for being performing devotional service. And slowly we fall down. Some beautiful girl, or not so beautiful girl, will come and say, Haribo, and then you're gone. Or some money, or some dealing, I don't know, something. If we observe in the Vaishnava history, whoever fall down, they didn't fall down because of sex desire, they didn't fall down because they were greedy, they didn't fall down because they were lusty. That is only external. Why they fall down? Because they offend the Vaishnavas. By offending the Vaishnava, they lose the taste, ruchi. And without ruchi, it's like a sick man who wants to eat a nice feast, but he has no appetite. He cannot eat. So he cannot perform the devotional service. And this is all very gradual. It's not like one day you offend the Vaishnava and the next morning you're out. No, it's a gradual process. So always we must remember this pastime of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj so that we can protect ourselves from this mad elephant offense against Vaishnavas. We are fortunate in Kali Yuga, even if we think bad of somebody, this is not taken into consideration. So only if we speak or physically attack the devotee, that will be taken into consideration. So we should be very, very careful. We should be very vigilant that our devotional kripa can grow nicely with the association of devotees so that we can make quick advancement and we can return back home, back to God. Prabhupada said in this lifetime we have, by the blessing of the Vaishnava, access to go back home, back to God. Now, when we preach around the world, we understand some people need some more time. We distribute books, people take the books, or people, we try to explain the philosophy, say, yeah, but I had to do this, I had to do that. Okay, but if we give some prasadam, we give some books, or some instruction, the person eventually will come to his original position of being devotees of the Lord. It may, for some people, take maybe like many lifetime, but the point is that we, living in Mayapur, in the holy dam, taking shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can go back to God in this very lifetime. We only have to be careful not to commit any offense against Vaishnava and have a nice, positive attitude of service. Because we are all servant. We are all servant. Either we serve the material nature or we serve the spiritual master, the Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada Mission, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are servant. That's what we are. So, as a servant of the servant of the servant, we can just go on assisting the devotees, propagating the chanting of the holy name, assisting the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam is the desire of the Lord that everybody will be flooded with love of God. Everybody. You won't spare anyone. So we are the postman. We are going and give the books. We are giving the prasadam. We are giving association. So people can make a little step further toward being Krishna conscious, toward reach the ultimate happiness which everybody is looking for. We all want to be happy. Anybody wants to go to the hospital? Somebody work in the hospital, yes? But nobody wants to go to and suffer. So we want to be happy. That's our nature. That's our soul. We are imbibed with this potency of being happy. But now how to uncover the diamond is by polishing through this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And it is Susukam Kartumavyayam is very joyfully performed. It's not that we have to go and do some crazy stuff or study some crazy book or learn some far out things. Nothing. It's very, very simple. It's very joyful. We chant, Prabhupada say. We dance. When we're tired, we take some prasadam. How difficult it is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and has given this process which is most blissful. And everybody can participate, from the small children to the old people. Everybody. Even sometimes there is some dog, we can see the dog is also dancing with Harinam. He's also dancing. So even the animal can participate. So I'd like to thank you very much for listening to this small, insignificant projection of what I understood about this verse. And if you have any question, there are many elite Vaishnava which and Vaishnavis who can assist us in understanding deeper. Yes, Prabhuji. You have a microphone? Do we have a microphone? Yes. Prabhuji, can you give this microphone to...
Hare Krishna. In those days, there used to be Vedic system. And so Ambarisha Maharaj comes from that age. And so he didn't have much to worry other than to practice devotional service very purely and unalloyedly. But in these days, and he was so educated, he couldn't offend any Vaishnava also. But in these days, we seem to lack this system of Varnashram. I read in the TKG diary that Varnashram is a preliminary help for suffering people. Of course, holy name also, you know, like first health should be there so that one can chant also. So similarly, Varnashram is like a preliminary health. It helps to chant. So also, in this age, it is very bad to have this habit of falling sensually also. So, you know, Prabhupada says it has to be stopped, it must not continue. It's not good that it continues. So, without this atmosphere of Varnashrama, which creates the mood of sattvic, in that atmosphere we are supposed to practice devotional service. So
I think, this is all external, because when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, you know, okay, tell me about this, I mean, so the whole explanation of Varnashrama and everything. But I think that ultimately is our relationship, personal relationship with Krishna, and no one can stop us. See, you have an eternal relationship with the Lord, we all have. So who can stop your devotional service? It doesn't matter if it's, you know, you're living in San Diego, in San Francisco, in Rome, in Tokyo, wherever you are. Obviously, we'll not find a perfect situation, which you think is easy. But there is no perfect situation in a jail. If you say a comparison, you can say, okay, the Swedish jail or the Sweden jail is better than Calcutta and Indian jail. Yes, it is. But still it's a jail where you're prisoners. So my point is that who can stop you to make advancement in spiritual life? No one. Only your mind. In this particular pastime, we read that the mind of Durvasa was becoming his enemy. Because our mind, you know, can become our enemy if we think, oh, this is not perfect, that is not perfect, this devotee is not correct, that devotee is not right, you know, then we start to become found in faults. Yes, the Maharaj explains, the natural things, everybody does it, the politician do, you know, but we should not find fault in other devotees. Just understand, we are in the hospital, and there are different patients, and we all have different disease. Somebody is a doctor, somebody is nurse, somebody is having little disease, in a few days he'll go out, somebody has a chronic disease, maybe he'll die in a hospital also, whatever. But we are living in the material world, which is full of danger. So what we have in our hand is our time of our life. We have a certain amount of time we can live in this body. Let's utilize that to the max in serving the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And no one can stop you to do that. So it doesn't matter external is not perfect. It doesn't matter we don't have the Varnashram. It doesn't matter this and that, whatever it may be. Take every situation as a stepping stone to make advancement in spiritual life. And this is what Prahlad Maharaj did. This is what Ambarish did. This is all the great Acharya, great devotee, Ramanuja, Madhavacharya. You think they had no problem? Everybody has some problem in life. We also have problem. But take this problem and say, Krishna wants me to surrender more. That's why I'm going through this. Somebody say, oh, my wife is not perfect. Okay, your wife is not perfect, but this is a wife you know, the demigods give you. So live with it. Do the best you can. My husband is not the GBC, is not the guru, is not the temple president. He doesn't have so much money, he's not so handsome. Whatever. I don't know. But this is what Krishna gives you. Work with that. Just look your husband, look your wife. Okay, this is given to me by Krishna. So let me live with that. Let me serve. Let me be part of this family because they are devotees. Let's help each other to progress in spiritual life. Finish the business, go back home, back to God. That's what we're doing. So, who can stop you to advance? No one. Only our mind. Our mind is so stupid, for millions of lifetime has been with us. He's trying to find fault. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at this. There is no perfection in the material world. We are living in an imperfect, perfect situation. Does this answer your question?
Thank you, Prabhupada. We have to get rid of the borrowed mind.
Yes. Look deeper. Look, Hanuman Ji said that in every action we do, the motivation which we perform the action is important. It's not the action itself. Because we are cooking, the karmi are cookies. Now we drive the car we are driving the car. But what's the intention? What's the motivation? Is that we're trying to please Krishna. The karmi, they're trying to please themselves. And that's why they're stuck into this material world, in this mess. They become envious and they stay forever in the material world unless the devotee come and pick him up and give him some Prabhupada books. Otherwise the guy is lost in the material world. Any other question? Everybody's convinced, huh? Oh, that's dangerous. Okay, yes, Mataji.
I have a question. You said something about the dogs even
camping
sometimes.
Yeah.
So I had personal experience.
Yes.
The dog, they used to come every day and follow.
Yeah.
One day it disappeared.
Hmm.
So I was wondering.
You're wondering if I saw the dog? I don't know. I didn't see him. I used to see him also, but maybe he's gone back to God, eh?
Everyone was so inspired to see the dog. So
he was dancing, right?
Yeah.
What was the name? They give a name also.
Yeah, he had a heart. He had a name like Sankirtan.
Sankirtan
Das. I don't remember
what it was. The body is so wonderful. They give even the name initiated dog. We have our own dog who chanting with us. Beautiful, nice. Maybe it's, I don't know. Yeah, you know this special living entity. They come and they participate in Harinam, and then maybe they go back to Godhead. Yeah. It was their lifetime. Prabhupada said that sometime if we make offense against the devotee, we have to take birth in Vrindavan as monkeys or something, as a donkey. And that's the last lifetime. You pay your price and go back to God. So let us not become monkey and dog next life. Let us chant Hare Krishna. So any other point, any other question, any other? Okay. Yes, Mataji, please.
Prabhuji, what is the difference between discrimination while associating and being offensive towards the devotees?
Yeah, very nice question. Discrimination and being offensive. Discrimination means we understand the motivation of these people, and even if we see some imperfection, then we can understand that maybe this devotee is not so advanced. We don't have to criticize it, but we can understand that he needs more time to make further advancement. So either you can help the devotees by personally speaking to him or to her and say, Mataji, I noticed this. I don't know if I'm perceiving correctly this. Because you have to understand the mentality. Sometimes people do wrong thing, but their desire and motivation is right. So, you know, it's like there is a pastime of Ramanuja's cousin brother. His name was Govinda. And the devotee saw him sitting outside the prostitute house. So immediately went to Ramanuja and said, hey, what is this? Your cousin brother going to with the prostitute? He said, what do you mean he's going to the prostitute? Yeah, we saw him sitting outside the prostitute house. So he called Govinda. He said, Govinda, what are you doing? Are you going with the prostitute? He said, no. Why did the body see you outside the prostitute house? Oh, I was passing through the road and I heard the beautiful recitation of the Ramayana and I just sat under the window and I was listening to the beautiful Ramayana. So sometimes the appearance is different from the reality. So we have to first understand properly the motivation of the devotee. That will refrain us from offending the devotees. Because, you know, we have power of discrimination, so we can understand, okay, this devotee is doing this because it must be some reason I don't understand. So it's very important we understand this. It's very subtle, and you know, we can go and say, oh, these people, they're wrong, the GBC are wrong, the temple president is wrong, the secretary is wrong, everybody's wrong, what's going on? Yeah, but you know, if you go deep inside, you understand there is, maybe there is something wrong, but they're trying to work it out. You know, because we're not perfect, because we have material desire, because there are impediments, because of situation, because of time factor. So we can understand all this and be a little in the mood of goodness and tolerate and understand that the Lord, in due course of time, will fix up everything. Let me start to fix myself. Let me become exemplary for all the devotees. Let me be the shining torchlight. Or let me become at least a little bit LED light. So again, at least you know, enlighten myself and the people around me. So we don't have to be offensive, because offense means what? Like Yasna Mara say, you push somebody down so you feel great. Oh, I'm greater than you because you're wrong and I'm right. So this is a mentality, it's envious mentality. It's envy is what is keeping us in the material world. We should become non-envious. Envy is a different level of envy. It's like you see somebody has a nice car, oh, I wish I had that car. But if you are envy to the ultimate thing, you say, I want the car, I'll go there and kill the guy and steal his car. That's really serious enviousness. So we don't want to be envious of anybody, because whatever we have, the Lord has given us more than what we deserve. I mean, at least to me, I don't know. I think to all the devotees, He's given us enough. So, in fact, we have to be careful what we desire. I can tell you, I had the desire to have a motorcycle, now I have 20 motorcycles. And I'm thinking, well, I'm stupid. Why am I desiring this motorcycle? Because I love motorcycle. The devotees say, oh, you have so many motorcycles. I say, okay. So we have to be careful what we desire. Because, see, Bhakti can give us everything. He can give us money, he can give us name, he can give fame, he can give position, we can become Brahma, Indra, anything we want by Bhakti. But unless we desire to have pure Bhakti, love of God, Krishna won't give to us. Because we are devotee, whatever we desire, we become Satya Sankalpa. Anything we desire, the Lord will give to us. There's no problem for the Lord to give to his devotee money, or position, or name, or fame. This is nothing. It's external. Okay, you want this? I can give it to you. But try to understand that this is not what ultimately you want. Ultimately you want love of God. We are chanting Hare Krishna. We cannot mechanically chant Hare Krishna for 40 years and still feel like, what am I doing? No, we have to desire love of God in order to get it. The lolium, the greed, to obtain the ultimate, topmost things, which is love of God. Prabhupada said that when you go and hire and hunting for the rhinoceros, you cannot kill a rhinoceros by shooting, because he has a thick skin, like 3-inch thick. Even if you shoot it with a bullet, nothing happened. You have to shoot it in the eyes in order to kill it. So Prabhupada said, we are trying to do that. We're trying to achieve love of God. And once you have that in your heart, no one can take it away. And that is the highest thing we want. All these other things are external. It doesn't matter how many sari you have, whether you have 100 or 200 sari. What difference it makes? Does it make a difference? Yeah, you say, I have 200 sari. Okay, I have 200 dodi. Okay, so what? Still, every day you wear one sari or one dodi. You cannot wear 200 dodi or 200 sari all at once. If you have so much money in the bank and say, okay, I'm going to eat a feast. But how much can you eat? Can you eat 10 plates of pakora? No, your liver blow. Yeah, can you eat, 500 gulab jamun and rasgulla? No, it's not possible. After you eat 10, you go to sleep. So our senses are limited. Our desire may be unlimited. So we have to control our mind and think, I am blessed. The Lord has given me so much, whatever I need, I don't need more. Let me distribute more. Whatever I have extra, I should give to the other devotees, I should help the poor people, whatever. Because we try to minimize our demand of our body and our mind and our life. Otherwise, no, we can go on forever. More we have, more we want. And then, even if we have one house, we want 3 houses. We have, $1 million, we want $10 million. We have one Ferrari, then we want a Maserati. Whatever. You have one planet, you want this universe, another universe. So it's unlimited. But let's be happy with whatever the Lord gives us. Because that's what we deserve. We are in a proper position. The time is going. Let's complete our journey and return back to God. So the power of discrimination should be there. To understand that whatever the devotee do, don't find fault in them. Let the guru, let the senior devotee understand. If we can help, if somebody is a new bhakti, you want to go and help, you preach to them, invite them to your home, feed them prasadam, make them feel nice, then they'll listen to us. they may be able to help them. Does this answer your question? Yes, Prabhuji.
When do we say that we have no fair deal with Lord Krishna?
We are not fearful?
Fair deal with Lord Krishna.
Sorry, I didn't get it.
Fair deal with Krishna.
Pray?
Fair. Fair.
Fair deal. Fair deal with Krishna. Okay. We have no fear?
Fair, not fear.
Fair. We have no, I don't understand. What is a fair deal?
I mean to say that, Prabhu.
To be fair, to be equal, to be...
Fair means to say that Lord is very kind to us, giving so much things, and mean to say that He is very kind to us, but we are unkind to Him. For that we are not serving properly. For that Lord Krishna is not satisfied. And we have disagreement, you say that disagreement, because you are not properly understanding Krishna. So we are not serving properly.
Yeah, but we are in the process. So, you know, we have to start from somewhere. You start by serving the Lord, by chanting Hare Krishna. We are not perfect. We know the Lord is tolerating, but the Lord knows that just like a child when he's small, 1 year old, they cannot walk. The child cannot walk. But the mother, they know that when he's 2 years old, the child will walk. So the child starts to crawl and he grab the table, then stand up, then make one step and fall down. So, like a father, Krishna knows that our attempt is to please Him. So, He knows that we will become mature and we will become perfect. So, we just stick to the process of devotional service, which is given to us by the Acharya. And then, we'll be completely alright. Thank you. Okay, it's more than 9 o'clock. Everybody wants prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki! Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki! Gaura Premanande Hari Hari.